8 years ago this fall, I did a thing. I did a thing that I have never done before that and have never done since. I ran a half marathon, 13.1 miles. And you're probably wondering how in the world did you know, it's gotten a little bit bigger in the last 8 years. I have not been running since, but how did I get into this? Well, first let me show you a little picture here. This is of a few guys from my small group and some other guys from my church. This is back in Ohio when we lived there. I'm in the middle in the gray shirt. All smiles on the morning of the run. It was still dark when we got there. It was early. So a few guys from our small group had said, "Hey, we should run together." And I was like, "What? We're going to do what together?" And so the year before, we did a small race together. Then this year, they were like, "Hey, we should do a half marathon." I said, "A hoobity whatty? A half marathon?" But eventually, they talked me into it, and I agreed. I said, "Okay, I'll run this with you guys." And so I got into it. And actually, as I began to train, I found I actually liked the training leading up to the race. I enjoyed getting into shape. I enjoyed getting to put music in my ears, earbuds, and go out for runs and just worship the Lord and pray while I was running. I enjoyed getting to like beat my times and get a little bit faster. And when you're running, you're really racing yourself. If you've been in racing before or running before, you might get a little competitive, but mostly you're running against yourself. But I will say the guys in the picture there, the two guys on the far left, far right, I knew, actually, the guy on the far, I knew he was going to beat me. He had a much better pace than me. But a few of the guys in there, I thought, I'm going to go into this race, I'm going to beat them. So I was actually developing competition in my mind against these guys, even though in Christian love, you know, we're not supposed to do that. So we get into the race, and we're going along, and mile one, I'm feeling great. Right, I'm like, this is awesome. I'm going. I have a really good pace going. Mile two, mile three, mile four, all fine. And through mile six, I'm like, this could be like way better than any of the training I've done. Like, I'm running at a really good pace, and I feel great. Mile seven, I hit a wall. Something happened. My body's going, I need more oxygen. We're not going to continue at this pace. Just letting you know, control center of the mind, it's going to have to go a little slower because we're not keeping up with what you're telling us to do. And so I started to slow down. And I was still ahead of some guys, particularly one guy, my neighbor in this picture too. I wanted to beat him. And as I'm slowing down mile seven, mile eight, he comes passing me by. And I'm like, oh man, all right. So I got to really pick this up. I got to hang with him and maybe I can just beat him at the end of the race. Well, I saw him just continue to take off and go past me faster and faster. And I got discouraged. And I was like, man, I need some water. So at a water station, I'm drinking water. I never did that during the middle of my runs. Then there was a goo station. You guys know what goo is? It's like this pouch substance that you can squeeze into your mouth. It's supposed to give you energy. I choked on it when I took it because I was breathing so hard. Made me run even slower. And I finished a race. It wasn't the pace I wanted to get at the end, but it was still a respectable pace. And I finished. And I was like, okay, whew, I finished. So go ahead. There's me at the finish line. The finish line. Got my little medal that they give you. And I was smiling. I was a little bit sunburned. But I had to shake hands with the guys that beat me. Okay, good race, good race. We are all in a race. Scripture tells us that we are on a race. We don't know exactly how long we have in the race. Some of you are further along in the race. Some of you not as far along. But we don't know when the finish line is coming. It could be today. It could be 10 years from now. It could be a long time from now. Whenever Jesus comes back, our race is done. Or whenever he takes us home to be with him, our race is done. But we're in a race to keep the faith, to keep focused on Christ, to trust him and his faithfulness, and to keep living on in our faith in Jesus and keep focused on him, to obey him, whatever he calls us to do, to trust him all the way to the end. Will we be found faithful, running all the way to the end of the race, or will we quit and give up somewhere in between? You're on a race, I'm on a race, and we want to finish well. So how can we do that? How can we run the race that God has in front of us? We don't know if there's twists and turns, if there's obstacles, if there's uphill, downhill. And sometimes you might get feeling like, I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I can get all the way there. I've hit a wall. But Scripture is going to tell us here, and as we look this morning in Hebrews 12, some ways that we can run our race with perseverance. And so I encourage you to go ahead and open up your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 12. And we just got done with a six-week vision series called Launch. These last weeks, it was a blast going through that with you, with our core values and our vision for the church. Really enjoyed that. And now we have a month before Thanksgiving. Let me say that again. We have a month before Thanksgiving. We're going to do Hebrews 12 in these couple of weeks, and then we'll have a special Christmas series. And then we'll finish out chapter 13 in the new year. In the new year, think of this. 2 months from now, it's going to be New Year's Eve, just about. So, like, little wake-up call. We're at the end of the year. This is nuts. So, Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you do not grow weary and lose heart. In fact, we just looked at this during our time of worship, and we considered this parts of this passage already. But these verses do describe us on a race, that we're going forward, and it says we got to run this race with perseverance. And how can we do that? Well, it starts with the word therefore. And whenever you see a therefore in Scripture, you ask what it's therefore. So we just got done with chapter 11 6 weeks ago. But in the Scripture, remember that there were no chapter breaks and verse markings numbers in here. So chapter 12 flows right out of chapter 11. It says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, well, it must be talking about people that we just covered in chapter 11. Chapter 11 is the Hall of Faith. It's a chapter that just highlights people who ran their race of faith with perseverance. And when you look back there, if you flip to chapter 11 with me, I mean, you start from the very beginning and you see how it talks about Abel and it talks about Enoch, these very early men who walked with faith in the Lord. Then you get the story of Noah and then Abraham. There's a lot written about Abraham, and he was a man of faith. And then Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses. There is a man of faith. And you continue on and just begins to list people like Samson and David and Samuel and the prophets and all those who had journeyed on before us. There are people who have already finished their race. They can testify that God is faithful. They can testify, keep trusting him, because God never fails. Even while you may not be perfect, we have a perfect God. Even while we may not always be faithful, we have a God who is faithful. And they're telling us, keep going in the race. So here's our first way that we can run with perseverance. It's to hear the cheers. Hear the cheers of those who have gone on before us. There's a great cloud of witnesses, a whole crowd of people. Imagine if you're in a race and there's stands full of people who are cheering, or they're alongside the path and they're cheering you on and they're saying, you can do this. We testify, you can do it because we've made it already. God is faithful. He will help you to the end. So do you hear the cheers of Moses and David and Abraham? One of the things that I hadn't anticipated when I ran that half marathon was how helpful it was to have people cheering. So here I was at that point where, you know, I had reached that wall, and I'm going, oh, I don't know if I can keep doing this. Listen, there were thousands of runners in that race, thousands. There were tens of thousands of people cheering on the runners of the race. I mean, all 13.1 miles, there were people on every leg of that race. All along the streets, there were total strangers. There were a few people I knew that had come out that were cheering us on, but I would only see them like every so often. But there were people lining the whole course, cheering on. They had banners, they had cowbells. I was like, thank you for bringing cowbells. It helps me to run faster. So if you ever get to cheer people on, bring some cowbells. And they were cheering us on, saying, you can do it. Keep going. Keep going. And it was so helpful to have them running. It put a little pep in my step. Now, I really was amazed by the people where our course took a route through some neighborhoods. These poor people couldn't leave their homes the entire day because it was a race course. No longer could they drive their cars out on the street. It was blocked off. They brought their camping chairs and sat at the road and cheered on total strangers who were running through their neighborhood. I was like, wow, thank you for coming out to cheer us along. That really, really helps. Do you hear the cheers today of those who have gone on before you? People from the Old Testament, those who kept the faith, those who maybe have gone on before you, parents, grandparents, or others that you have known, they're cheering us on saying, God is faithful. Now, the metaphor breaks down a little bit in the sense that as they're in heaven and they're around the throne of God and they're worshiping there, they're not all knowing, they're not all seeing. They can't come and visit us and talk with us, so don't hear me saying that. The scripture's not saying that. But here they are, they're in heaven, they're worshiping the Lord in all of his glory, and they're exalting him that in our day, in our time, God is working and he's moving. And they're witnesses to say, if you trust the Lord, you can make it. God is faithful. Keep running with perseverance. So hear the cheers of all those who have gone on before us. They're a great example to us. And as we look at the scriptures, we can even see how they ran their race. We looked at that a lot last chapter, so I won't go too much farther into that, but the second thing that it tells us in these verses, as it continues on, is it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles so that we can run our race marked out for us with perseverance. The wording is to put aside things that are weights. Put aside things that entangle us. And I want you to imagine with me, what if I had decided that for that race, I wasn't going to wear just normal laced-up running shoes or a normal running outfit. I was going to wear some extra things in that race. So I need a volunteer to help me. All right, first hand goes up. Maddie, come on up here, bro. All right, so if you're going to run a race, first thing you don't want to do is put on, like, heavy clothing. Come on all the way up to the top so people can see you here. So I want you to put this on. Let's say that I had decided I was going to run in a sweatshirt. It was a little chilly that morning. But, if you're running, your body gets warmed up. Do you want to run in a sweatshirt typically? I mean, unless it's freezing cold. I've had to do that before. But, okay, looking good, good as a runner, right? You guys good? Yeah? Okay, next thing. Instead of wearing nice running shoes, which you have, you could run in those. I'm going to give you something else. Go ahead and slip your shoes off. Okay. Let's outfit him with something else to run the race with. So go ahead and slip these on right here. I think they should fit. You can get it slipped around your heel. Yeah, good. Okay, there's the other one. These are true, tested and tried scuba flippers. So there are people that actually do weird things like running marathons in strange outfits. You Google, there are people that have run in swim flippers. So how's that working for you? Think you could run okay in that? Okay. All right, next thing, how strong are you? Pretty strong? Okay. All right. It's so huge. Next thing, let's say you had some weights on you. So a backpack full of heavy weights. Go ahead and slip that arm in there. He's going to be feeling this. He's going to regret that he became the volunteer. Okay. Actually, show him, kind of just bounce a little bit. Show him how heavy that is. Okay? All right. Now it says for us to cast aside, throw off everything that hinders us. Are you feeling a little bit hindered to run a race right now? All right, what I want you to do is get down in the aisle right here, and let's see if you can make it down those stairs, okay? All right, dude, let me hold on to you here. Okay, all right, right here, get ready to go in the aisle. Okay, now just give us a couple of steps, right? Here, turn this right. Dad's videotaping you. This is perfect, okay? give us a couple of steps down the aisle. See if you could run. Ready, go. Okay, you can come on back. That's good. Down he goes. This is perfect. Perfect. Okay, so one more thing is, you forgot, I'm going to put a little rope around you right here. Okay, now, actually it's an extension cord, but I want you to try to go down the aisle now, right? Back to the same place. Go, go. You got this, man. Go, go. You got this. Push, push. All right, Maddie, you can be done here, bro. All right. All right. Stay right here for me 1 second. As ridiculous as this is how some of us try to run a race. We are weighed down by stuff we don't need to be carrying. We're holding on to things. We're picking it up. We're going, yeah, let's put on a backpack full of rocks. Oh my goodness, this is really heavy, Matt. All right. We're pulled back. We're entangled by things. We got the wrong shoes on. And we're thinking we can run our race with perseverance like this. All right, everybody give Matt a round. I'm doing that too, so. The scripture says very clearly, let us throw off, lay aside, put away the things that are hindering us. The scripture says the things that are weights. Throw off all of the weights and the sin that so easily entangles us so that we can run our race with perseverance. The text identifies these two separate things, the weights and then the sin that entangles us. And the weights, I would envision it as distractions. They're extra things that we don't really need that we're hanging on to. Stuff we're taking for the journey that we don't really need, but we say, oh, I like this too much. I want to keep this. And then the sin that entangles us, it's stuff that we know is like holding us back, and yet we still fall into the same things over and over and over again. So let's talk about those two things, the weights that can really hinder us. There are things that we have, they might even be good things in our lives, but we have too much of them. They're out of balance, or we just have so many different loves in our life that it's hard to love the Lord as number one. So maybe there's things in your life, like I know there are people, I'm related to one or two of them, that have five or more fantasy football teams going on right now. And if that's you in this room, it's okay. It's okay. But I just got to say, if you need 5, 8, 10 fantasy football teams, you probably don't have enough time for the Lord. It might be a distraction. There are people that get into video games and get into gaming systems or maybe an app on your phone, and you get into it and you swipe and you scroll and you play the game, and you turn around an hour later, you're like, where did all that time go? And time just whittles away. And sometimes, if that happens to me, I start to realize this, I go, okay, I just gotta delete that app. Gone. I don't want that in my, it's weighing me down. There can be things like watching way too much TV, and you sit down, you turn it on, and before you know it, a couple hours have gone by, and you're like, wait, I don't have time for the other things in my life that are really important. I haven't spent time with the Lord. This is hindering me. Something needs to change. Or I'm staying up way too late at night and not having the time I need in the morning with the Lord. There can be things like traveling too much or getting coffee every day out in the store where it costs so much money or eating out so much that I don't have the finances to be generous to the Lord or to other people because we're to be a giving people. So whatever it may be, what are the things in your life that are extra weights that are holding you back, that are distracting you from doing what God has told you to do? How you can run with perseverance, run light. Runners don't wear a whole bunch of extra stuff. They wear what's needed and then they go. They want to go unhindered as they run. So how can you put the best of your time, the best of your finances, the best of your priorities to the Lord? I mean, sometimes we give him what's left over rather than what's best. So think through that today. What do you look like as you're running your race? Do you look a little bit more like Matt, or do you look like a runner? Is there anything that the Lord would be saying, hey, you need to deal with this? This has been too much. This is out of balance in your life. The second thing it tells us to do is to throw off every sin that so easily entangles us. We can get caught up. We can be tripping and falling on roots or weeds or ropes that are holding us back. And the Lord would be saying, whatever it takes, lay it aside. Get rid of it. You know as well as I do that all of us sin. It's something that because of our sinful nature, before we come to Christ, we can't choose not to sin. We are slaves to sin. When we come to Christ, that power of it is broken, and yet we still have these patterns. We still have these ways that we are used to thinking, these ways that we are used to getting our needs met, and we got to realize we're freed up to have all of our needs met in the Lord and not in these other ways. But still, sometimes it takes a deliberate kind of dealing with sin. It takes a desperation. And it's not as simple often to just say, well, I'm just going to lay it aside, because you've probably tried that before and then it happens again. But in some ways, though, it is as simple as having that desperation before the Lord. I'm going to be gut honest with you, Lord. I keep dealing with this and I do not want this in my life. Maybe we need to be gut honest with somebody else and say, I have been tripping up and falling over this so many times, and I need help. Will you help me with this? Let them in to pray with you. Let them in to help counsel you or ask you questions or to help even get set free from these kinds of things. But it says, lay the stuff aside. Don't let it keep hindering you. You know, there's stuff that does keep dragging us down, like things we shouldn't watch. Being as materialistic as the world around us. Things with our mouths, lying and swearing and being jealous of others. Fighting with people, holding grudges against people with unforgiveness. Sex outside of marriage, pornography, addictions. Folks, these become patterns in our lives. They get entrenched. They get ingrained in our lives. And sometimes we just get to the point where we go, well, it's just who I am. It's just what I have to deal with the rest of my life. I want to tell you that because the scripture says this is something for us to cast aside and set aside, our God is able to help us change. We cannot change necessarily by ourselves. We can't necessarily just change our own behaviors, and in fact, if we do it just to change the behavior, we've probably missed the point. But in relationship with God, in dependence upon God, in community with others that he's given us, because remember, runners in this race, we're not competing against each other. We can help each other in this race. We can change. The scripture is saying it's something that can be changed. So what's holding you back? Let me reread verse 1 for us so we get the force of it. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. If you have sin that's holding you back, if you have weights that are on you, don't just settle for being a runner that's slow. Don't just settle for being a runner that trips up all the time and spends half the time on the ground, though it's going to happen from time to time. In fact, probably multiple times a day. But whatever it takes to get rid of those things, do it, Scripture says. If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off, is what Jesus said. Not that we would literally gouge our eye out or cut off our hand, but he's saying go to whatever measure you have to get rid of it. Hack at that rope that's holding you back. Throw off that backpack that's keeping you back so that you can run your race with perseverance. It's much more miserable to be running like that than it is to run free. And his will for us is that we could run in freedom. We can run swiftly. We can run with perseverance. What step do you need to take toward getting free? I'm going to have you consider that some more as we finish, but put that in your mind. So lastly, it tells us in verses 2 and 3 where to focus our attention. It tells us to keep our eyes on Jesus. So verses 2 and 3, let us fix our eyes on who? Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. He already ran a race. He scorned its shame. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Interestingly, Scripture doesn't tell us here, hey, keep your eyes set on all that cloud of witnesses, those people who have gone on before us, though they're great examples for us to consider. But don't keep your eyes fixed on some other person. Don't keep your eyes fixed on another person in the race with you, though we see them, though it's encouraging to have others running with us. Don't keep your eyes fixed on your problems, on the things that are entangling. Yeah, you need to glance down, you need to see them, and you need to deal with them. Don't keep your eyes fixed on the course. Sometimes we do that, don't we? We obsess about what's next and what's coming, and what are we going to do a month from now? What are we going to do 3 years from now? He says, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. That's really significant. As a runner in a race, as I was running this, even in that half marathon, and when I was getting tired, when I was starting to really feel that, like, oh, the first thing that happens when you get tired is you begin to look down. And when a runner is doing that, if you have self-awareness, you're going, uh-oh, like, this is not good. I need to change my posture. The elbows come up high, and you're kind of running like this. That's a position of being tired. And you have to begin to look up, because what's happening is you're not breathing fully anymore, and all you're looking at is your own pace. You need to look up, you need to see your surroundings, you need to have something to focus on up ahead of you. And you need to be able to run like this. You'll breathe better, you'll have more confidence, your stride will get longer. Fix your eyes on Jesus. If you're getting tired in the race, if you're starting to get weary and lose heart in the race, fix your eyes again this morning on Jesus. And it says in here that he is the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the one who marked out the course already for us. He's the one who brought you into the course. He gave you the bib with your number on it to run. He's the one who knows exactly where you are on the race. He's the one that's going to help you to finish the race. He's the author, the finisher. He's the completer of the race. Philippians 1:6 is a verse that comes to mind when it tells us that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Isn't that a great verse? I've loved that verse ever since I first really got the impact of that as I was a teenager when I was reading in Philippians chapter 1. I memorized that verse. He who began a good work in you, he started this whole thing, he drew you to himself, he's going to carry you on to completion. I love that. He's going to be with us the whole way. He's the one that got us into this, and he's the one who's going to carry us through, and he's going to see us through until the very end. And I love that my trust doesn't have to be in myself, in my own abilities. I used to be so afraid, will I be able to really walk with Jesus? Like, I was like 16 when I started getting serious with the Lord. Can I make it to 70, 80, 90? Like, that's a lot of years to run. I don't know if I can do that. And again, if that's my question, if my question is, will my feet be able to do that? Will my ability be able to carry me that whole way? Then I have my focus on the wrong thing. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He is the author. He is the perfecter of our faith. He will give us what we need. And I love the fact that Jesus, who is God, stepped out of heaven. He was creator of all. He was Lord of all. He was the one who was communicating to the earth. As we read through the Old Testament, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they were active from creation all the way up to the time when Jesus was put into the womb of Mary. You think about, he was active in all that, but then there was this moment in heaven, long before creation, they decided this, but can you imagine that, of like, okay, now's the time, Jesus. you're going to become human. Like, think about how Jesus stepped into our race. The race that we all have marked out for us, Jesus goes, I'm going to run a race in human flesh for these people, with these people. He put on our running shoes. He put on our running clothes. He put on the bib. And he ran the race that was marked out for him. And it was not an easy race, was it? He didn't have a piece of cake kind of race. You'd think that God who stepped out of heaven, who had the glory of heaven and all the angels surrounding him and worshiping him and giving all that he would ever have needed, he stepped and put all that aside and he said, I'm going to run a race in a regular kind of way, in actually a very hard kind of way. I'm not going to have all the privileges of this world. Think about it with me. He was born into a family that was a blue-collar family. Not in a palace, not in a government position, not in as a prince or a king in an earthly sense. His dad was a carpenter, and as he was born, they had had to leave their one home in Nazareth to come down to Bethlehem and from the census that was going on. So they were already displaced from home, and within months, their family had to flee to go to Egypt to protect Jesus' life. They were refugees as he was an infant. And as he was a toddler and growing up in his first couple of years. Think about if you had to just uproot and leave. Some of you in this room have done that because of things that have happened in your lives. Imagine having to leave everything, start over. What income would Mary and Joseph have in Egypt? How would they survive all of that? What was going to be expected? Jesus lived a life of a refugee. Then they came back to Israel, and he didn't live in Jerusalem, in the main city, where they had more of the comforts of civilization at that time. Where did they live? In Nazareth, out in the sticks, out in the country. He was a country dude, where he grew up. It was a no-name place that no one cared about. He grew up off the map. And as he grew up, and he didn't have a family. He never got married. Never had kids. He never got rich. Again, the things that you would think would be the privileges of this human life. And he stepped into ministry at 30 years old. And you would think, man, okay, now here it comes. He's, you know, the baptism, the Father is speaking to the Son. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. The Spirit comes on him. Okay, now we're going to change the world. First thing he does, 40 days in the desert. Go and live and fast for 40 days. Eat nothing. Be absolutely miserable in the human flesh for 40 days. And Satan was assaulting him with everything he had, trying to tempt him, trying to get him to stumble and fall, to try to get him to so easily be entangled. And Jesus said, nope. No, I will trust my heavenly Father. I'm going to do the will of God. And all throughout his ministry, you see where Jesus consistently did the will of God. How many times was he misunderstood? How many times was he mislabeled? How many times was people didn't believe in him? How many times did they reject him? His own hometown they rejected. They tried to throw him off a cliff, the people he had grown up with. His own family tried to do an intervention with him because they thought he was crazy. Over and over again, Jesus met rejection and difficulty and resistance. His cousin, John the Baptist, who he had known since he was in the womb, the two of them met each other in the womb. John the Baptist was put to death. And it just signaled this grave warning to Jesus, if you're going to continue on as the Messiah, as doing the will of God, your time's coming. And he lived with the impending knowledge that he was going to die and die in a terrible kind of way, a humiliating kind of way for the sins of the world. And so he continued on against all the opposition. Even when people did believe in him, they mostly wanted to get something from him. Have you ever lived like that where people just want to use you and they follow him around just trying to, what can I get from him? And they didn't even give him times of quiet and rest so many times. You just see like the crowd would come and they would swarm him, and in his compassion, he would minister to them. And then we see how it comes to an end. In those last hours, Judas, one of his 12 that he had spent 3 years pouring into, decides boldly, I don't believe you. I'm going to reject you. In fact, I'm going to betray you for a little pouch of silver. Peter, his really good friend out of the 12, decides, well, he goes and he denies Jesus 3 times. I don't know him. No, you got it wrong. I was never part of him. Where Jesus had been arrested by thugs, where he was taken into a trial, where he was put on trial with people who were only trying to trap him in his words, trying to find a way to condemn him to death. No one stood up for him. No one came to his defense. He didn't even defend himself. He was mocked. He was punched in the face. He was spit on. They said, oh yeah, you think you're a king? Well, we'll show you what you do for a king. They put a crown of thorns on his head and beat it into the flesh of his head. They put a robe on him and they mocked him. Here he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and they were mocking him. He carried his own cross. He was stripped almost naked publicly in front of people, put up on a cross with nails through his hands and feet and hung there between criminals to die in the hot sun. I mean, it was a horrible race that he had. In many ways, it was not glorious. It was a path of suffering that Jesus ran in this race. And the scripture is telling us, do you understand what he did for you? If you're getting tired, if you're getting weary, keep your eyes on him, because look at what he did for the race that was marked out for him. He saw the joy on the other side of it, and he lived by faith knowing, I'm doing this for a reason. I'm submitting to the Father's will because I know what's ahead, and that promise is coming, but I've got to walk this road now. And we know what's on the other side of it. We know that he rose from the dead. We know that this was for the plan of salvation so that all the people of the world could be forgiven and made whole. But wow, what a road he walked or ran. A road of social suffering, of physical suffering, mental suffering. The word race in here, by the way, is the word that's very similar to agony. We have a race marked out for us. Life is not easy. And Jesus ran the worst of races, and he did it perfectly. He did everything that it means to be human for us. The worst of what it means to be human. And he did it perfectly. I love that. So in one level, Jesus is this example for us. He's saying, keep your eyes on Jesus. Look what he did. He did the will of God perfectly. And whenever he had challenges, whenever he had twists and turns, whenever it was difficult, what did he do? He leaned into the Heavenly Father. Now, the Father's God. Jesus is God. But when Jesus took on our limitations and took on our human flesh while he was still fully God, he lived in his humanity, showing how to depend upon God the Father. He would get away and he would pray. Look at the Garden of Gethsemane. What's he doing the night before all this is going to happen with being arrested and put on the cross and dying? He goes before the Father and he pours out his heart. I mean, to the point where he was sweating like drops of blood coming off him. The agony that he had, he took it to the Father. He submitted his will to the Father. He drew strength from the Father. How did Jesus run his race? In the strength of the Heavenly Father. What an example to us. How do we run our race? Just the same way Jesus did. Drawing strength from communion with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So we do the same kinds of things as we run our race. Jesus is the perfect example of that, but he's more than just the perfect example. I love the fact that Jesus isn't just standing at the finish line going, okay, guys, I did it. Now it's your turn. Come on, pick up your pace. Oh, that backpack you're carrying? Oh, that's going to go well for you. Those flippers. You're wearing flippers, aren't you? Yeah. Okay, keep your eyes here. All right, come on, keep coming. Keep coming. He's not the drill sergeant. He's not the one who's impatient. He's not the one who's just ready to whack us for doing it wrong. Jesus is with us in this race. He ran his race, but he's not just at the finish line. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, the Apostle Paul, who is a fellow runner of the race. Go back real quick, take this out real quick. Okay. First thing he says in verse 27 is he says, I found the mystery. I found the secret to running the race. He goes, Christ in you the hope of glory. Christ isn't just at the finish line. He's in us. And the Holy Spirit is in us. He's running with us. He's inside of us. And two verses later, the Apostle Paul is talking about how he's enduring in his life. And he says in Colossians 1:29, go ahead and put that verse up. He says, to this end I labor, struggling. You hear him? He's like, this is hard work. I'm trying to keep serving the Lord. I'm trying to keep going forward. And I'm struggling with all of, he doesn't say my energy. He says struggling with all of his energy, which so powerfully works in me. This is the gospel. This is the good news. This is the relief to the whole message here this morning. How are you going to run your race? Well, because you know that Jesus isn't just out there and he did his race perfectly for us. He's actually come back and now he's running inside of you. He's running with you and he's given you the strength and the energy and the perseverance to so powerfully work in you to help you to keep going step after step after step. He has already run the race you and I can't. He's already overcome for us what we can't, the sin that we can't, the distractions that we can't throw off. He's already done the good that you and I can't. And so the secret is to look to him, his strength that so powerfully works in us. This is really good news. A runner that's getting tired, you look at Jesus. So how will we run this race when it gets hard? How will we keep from going weary and losing heart? Well, we hear the cheers of the people who have gone on before us who have learned the strength isn't in you. You're not going to be perfect. You're not going to have it all together. God's faithful. And they're saying this to us by their example all around us. They're saying it's possible. We know because we did it. We didn't do it perfectly. Look at each one of the examples in chapter 11. They didn't do it perfectly. But they trusted a perfect God who helped them to run faithfully to the end of the race. So we hear the cheers. The second thing we do is we throw everything aside. And the things that we've picked up, the things that we've been carrying, we say, God, I got to give those away. I got to throw those off. And I need to be gut honest with you about what those things are. And I need you to be gut honest with me to point them out because I don't always know what they are. So help me get rid of this stuff. And we don't willingly then go and pick it back up again and run like a foolish person who of course is going to get tired and weary and get tangled up and trip and fall if we pick it up. And then we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who has gone ahead before us. His life is ours. Listen, I know it's not easy to run a race. And some of you here today have been through it. You look back at the course that you've gone through, the obstacles you've overcome, the uphill battles that you've had to run. It's not always downhill like smooth running. Some of you have bloodied up knees and elbows from tripping and falling, broken nose maybe. Some of you are in need of some energy. Create a little bit of space here at the end of our service to spend some time with Jesus, to help us get our eyes fixed back on him, to remember that he has gone before us. And if you're here today and you're going, I think I've probably lost focus. Yeah, I'm weary today. Then let the Lord rejuvenate you. Let him rejuvenate your faith, that you might run to be faithful to the end, that you might be able to finish well. And you don't know how long you have. He might come back for us today, and I would love it if he did. And I'm looking forward to the prize that's on the other side. I'm looking forward in faith. But I need him to help me take the next step now. And he's both. He's all of that for us. I invite the worship team to come. They're going to lead us in some singing. And these songs are purposely aimed at looking at Christ and helping us finish our race. But as we do this, consider these things that we've talked about. Is there anything hindering you right now? Is there anything holding you up, tripping you up? Do you have a heavy backpack of weight today? What's your next step to get rid of that? How do you throw that aside? Start by talking to the Lord about it during this time. Whatever he tells you, what you need to do about it, resolve, okay, Lord, help me to take that next step. Whether it's to talk to somebody, whether it's to just make a decision to get rid of something, that there's an influence you got to cut off in your life or a habit or something. If you just need to draw strength from the Lord and kind of just sit there and be like, Lord, I need you to fill me today. I've had my eyes on so many other things. I need you. I just want to be here with you. Folks, another way that we fight our battles is by worship. And maybe you just need to all out give your heart and soul to the Lord and just say, God, I'm just so glad that you're everything for me. And I just affirm that today. Affirm my faith in you. Whatever you need, let's go to the Lord.